You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming
ABC
on the
News,
Civic Media app.
I'm Michelle Franzen. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Beijing meeting with China's foreign minister. China's readout so far of the meeting signaling Taiwan is at the center of talks and tensions. Hanging in the balance still on the trip, a possible sit-down with China's leader. More from ABC's Matt Rivers in Beijing.
I asked a senior State Department official here on the ground what's the likelihood of that Biden-Xi meeting taking place. That official not wanting to get out in front of his boss, saying only he would take President Biden at his word.
Blinken's trip initially scheduled for February, but was postponed after a Chinese spy balloon made its way into U.S. airspace before getting shot down by the military. One person is dead in Illinois and at least 20 injured after gunfire overnight at a Juneteenth festival. Police in the West Chicago suburban town of Willowbrook say they don't have a motive. After officially kicking off his 2024 campaign this weekend, nothing official on the president's schedule today. He's marking Father's Day along with dads all across the country. This is ABC News. A college basketball coach resigned from his job less than a year after he was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. ABC's Brian Clark says it follows his second DUI arrest.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Bob Huggins said in a statement, "My recent actions do not represent the values of the university or the leadership expected in this role." He resigned from his job coaching West Virginia University one day after he was arrested in Pittsburgh on suspicion of DUI. Police said a breath test showed a blood alcohol level more than twice the legal limit. 6 weeks earlier, Huggins had been sanctioned by West Virginia after he used an anti-gay slur during a radio interview.
In vitro fertilization is an option for many couples having trouble getting pregnant, but women stop the treatment sometimes after experiencing difficulties. The CDC now offering an online IVF success estimator that determines pregnancy likelihood using factors like weight, height, number of previous pregnancies, and age. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curd are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new annual report says kids in Wisconsin are doing better than most around the country. But as Mike Moen reports, there's room to do better.
The research from the Annie E. Casey Foundation now includes firm data from post-pandemic years, giving policy groups and nonprofits a better sense of how childhood development was affected by the crisis. Emily Miota of the statewide policy group Kids Forward says Wisconsin ranks 10th in the nation for overall child well-being, but she adds it's clear that many families are still struggling and not lending added support will only worsen outcomes.
Parents need jobs with family-sustaining pay, affordable housing, but when parents are unemployed or are earning low wages, their access to resources to support their kids' development is more limited.
The report says 13% of Wisconsin children are living in poverty, and Miota says the crisis has exacerbated disparities in economic well-being. Nationally, there were worsening trends in reading and math scores and more kids whose parents lack secure employment. There's also been a significant increase in the number of babies born at low birth weights. One of the main themes from this year's report was the lack of access to affordable child care. The Casey Foundation's Leslie Bossier says there are significant challenges.
Affordability for families is a huge challenge, and at the same time, early child care workers are among the lowest paid in the country.
In 2021, Wisconsin's average cost of center-based child care for a toddler was more than $12,000. That's 11% of the median income for a married couple and 36% of a single mother's income in the state. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Cripes Cast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, and here is today's episode. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Cripes Cast. Today, my guest is Chad Daniels. You've probably heard his comedy or seen his comedy. He's got a billion streams on his six albums. He's been on Late Night, The Tonight Show, all that sort of stuff. And he is from Minnesota. So woo-hoo. We did a little Minnesota versus Wisconsin off, Colleen. Mm-hmm. Folks can look forward to that. Colleen, all right. Colleen Maraca, EP of the Cripes Cast, joins me here. We did play basketball last week.
Just by body language, who do you think won?
Can you smirk again and you do that laugh, that evil laugh?
Who do you think won?
Shut up, Colleen.
Sound off in the comments who you think won.
If you want to see the footage, you can go to patreon.com/CharlieBarons. God, I hate that laugh. I've only just heard that laugh as of 30 seconds ago, and I absolutely loathe it. God.
It's a guttural, like.
No, I've just never heard so much joy emanate from you. Vicious joy is a way of describing it. Vicious joy.
It's a good day to be me.
I'll tell you this. Here's why you did so well.
Okay, so like just like put it out there on the record. I won.
Yeah, we know.
No, you want to say it to the fans at home?
No, I don't. I'm still in denial. Your left-handed dribbling. I can't even dribble left-handed.
That's what set me apart. I thought you were going to shit on me for my left-handed dribbling. I never went left. I was looking at the footage right now.
You went left all the time.
Your left, my right.
No, my right, your left. Look at the footage again. You can dribble left-handed.
Yeah, I can, but okay, I always went right.
That was a distinguishing thing. Mm. I noticed that. Because you had the ability to go left and then cross over to the right.
That is true.
But yes. You did often go up. And you also did a lot of pump fakes, which got me off my feet. Now, you're very good at those aspects. You're a terrible shot. No, you're absolutely awful.
Shut up.
You are. No, that game would have been done. That game took a half hour. It would have been done in 10 minutes had you been able to make any shots. It was awful. Now, I was also awful at shooting, which is why the game took forever. I made the mistake of sinking my first shot. Having so much confidence, I was like, let's go to 21.
No,
Spoiler alert, we did not go to 21.
It was also a mixture of me being like, oh, he made his first three. Let's go to 21 because then maybe I'll have some time to get back. Because I was like, oh, yeah. If it's just like three after three after three, then I'm screwed and it'll be quick and done. And
right. Anyway, folks, changing gears. We've got Father's Day coming up. And if you want to get dad something, head on over to CripesCast.com. Click on the merch section. We've got the Wisconsin Rapids t-shirt, roll out the barrel, Midwest goodbye, Midwest nice. Tell your folks I says hi. We got stickers, koozies, drink signs, the card game that I create, card sale, the book, Midwest Survival Guide, cribbage boards made in Milwaukee. We've got it all over there. And what else do we have up, Colleen? New wave of tour dates?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So by the time that this podcast comes out, so we have dates announced in Wichita, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri. Because isn't there like Kansas City, Missouri, and then Kansas City, Kansas? It's the Missouri one. Springfield, Evansville, Indiana, and a whole bunch more. But those are the first ones that are getting announced for the good old fashioned tour. So check it out, charliebarons.com. And yeah, go get those tickets. We do have a lot more coming up. Those are just the first ones announced. And so... yeah, it's super exciting. Are you excited to get back out on the road?
I'm very excited to get back out on the road. I've been working on new material for a while. And, you know, that I've been off the road now for a few months. And I got to get back on the road. Because the road is the place where I can run away from all my feelings, you know? You know, if I'm just sitting here, I've got to deal with them all, you know?
Whoa, let's cut that. I'll send it to your therapist and let's just like...
No, my therapist knows. Okay. In fact, we tried to work through my my stuff and my therapist was even like, you know, maybe you should just get back on the road. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like if a hook gets too hooked too far inside of a fish, you drop him back in the water. Maybe he'll work this out on his own. Usually not,
yeah.
You know, but
this
anyway.
This is a cry for help. Well, that... took a wild turn, but if you want to go see Charlie avoid his feelings, go to charliebarons.com, click on tour. Or if you go into cripescast.com, click on tour. We'll have updated dates as the time goes on. Those will probably be more solidified throughout the summer. But yeah, Charlie's touring this fall. And oh, isn't that just the best? Back on the road.
Back on the road. Back out of the office.
Yeah,
which means you guys can
work
all
from home.
Work from home, which means... work kind of from home.
There's a couple books and I'm excited to read this fall.
Oh, God.
Get some, kick my feet up. No, but yeah, so if you want to see him on tour, head there. You know where to go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Now it is time for my interview with Chad Daniels. Is that your go-to golf hat?
It is, yep.
Are you good at golf?
No. I don't know. Sometimes.
How often do you play golf, would you say, and kind of how long did it take you to play it to really enjoy it?
So I started 11 years ago and probably took me until last summer to really enjoy it.
I mean, really?
It's just it's when you start as an adult, it's so hard, I think.
Yeah.
Because when you're a kid, in order to get that whip you need, you have to do everything right. But when you're an adult, you can swing a club like a softball bat and
yeah.
still get a decent amount of distance. So, but then when you get old again, you're going to be able to hit it 100 yards. So I think you do need to learn how to do it. And I don't know. I started having fun last year, I guess. Obviously, if you're drinking beer on the course, it's
right.
fun the whole time.
Right.
But I started enjoying the actual golf part of it a couple years ago, probably.
Okay. And so you didn't grow up doing that kind of thing at all?
The golf? No, I played baseball.
Okay.
No.
You played?
So, same season, yeah.
Did you look down on golf as a kid?
I just thought it was a rich kid sport and I wasn't a rich kid. So
yeah.
It was, you know, you could either go buy a baseball glove and a baseball, or you could go buy a set of $1,000 clubs, which I certainly did not have. So
yeah. No, me either. I still got my uncle's clubs. That's what I currently play with. Like the
okay.
Pat. What's the name of that old golfer with who's got his own clubs? I forget now.
I think I know who you're talking
Hogan,
about. Tom Watson.
Paul Hogan.
Oh, okay.
Those
not
ones.
Paul Hogan. Paul Hogan is from Crocodile Dundee.
So
that's anyway. Not a pitching wedge. That's a pitching wedge.
That's how good at golf I am. So where did you grow up in Minnesota?
I grew up in Fergus Falls. So if you go from Minneapolis to Fargo, North Dakota, it's a 4-hour drive.
Yep.
Fergus Falls is 3 hours into that drive. So it's an hour before you get to Fargo.
Okay. I made that drive recently, actually. My buddy lives in Fargo, so I went up there
okay.
for his wedding and all that. That's quite the drive to do.
You know? Yeah, hearing you say that, I almost want to reach through my computer and give you a hug because it sucks. It's brutal.
I know. This one time, I took a train to Montana
Thinking it'd be like this cool, like awesome experience. You take a train right out. Right. Except the part I took, it was 30-hour ride. It was all daylight for Minnesota and North Dakota, and then the sun started setting as soon as we got to the mountains. It was miserable.
Perfect yeah. timing.
What was life like growing up there?
That was pretty great. You know, you have friends. It's still a small town, so it's a gossip mill. And if, you know, your parents aren't on the straight and narrow, everybody knows about it. Or I didn't find this out until after high school, but I got blamed for so much stuff. So we were at a Super Bowl party at my buddy's house. And after I had left, they were playing football and a lamp got broken. And they just told the mom that I did it because I'd already had this reputation.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, well, we don't want to ruin anyone else's reputation. No. So let's just dump it all on him, which made me laugh very hard because I heard this. I went to this guy's wedding and his mom came up and she goes, you know, you still owe me a lamp. And then everyone started laughing and they finally told her the truth.
Oh my God.
And I didn't even know about it. So I'm like, oh, I've been getting the side eye for this fake lamp that I, you know, situation.
Yeah. I it's funny you say that. I had a similar thing happen where my buddy got, he was upset because this girl broke up with him and we were sitting in his car and there was a spider crawling up on his windshield. And he decided to take out all his aggression on this spider. He put up a piece of paper for, I guess, to take care of the splash, you know, of the sure. spider. Punched the spider, and he punched a hole in his windshield, and he blamed that on me. So
I will tell you this. If anyone ever blamed me for punching a hole in a windshield, I'd be like, you're damn right I did that. And no one would mess with you for the rest of your life because you're like, you see this one? This one goes through windshields, dude. So cool it.
Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah, that's so crazy. My girlfriend and I are going through it right now.
Okay.
She's seen it 5 times. I saw it once so I binged it in 1 week the day I started the day after the series finale.
Uh-huh.
So it's been a super long time. So I'm
you
watching
binged the whole thing in a week though back then?
I did, yeah.
It's a very bingeable show.
Yeah. And I, so I don't even remember what's going on.
Well, so yeah.
It's like I'm watching a brand new show. It's great.
See, I did that with The Sopranos where I watched it as, you know, growing up. And then I just rewatched it. I was like, man, I don't know what I was doing growing up, but it wasn't good for my memory, you know?
Yeah, right.
But the reason I brought up Breaking Bad is there's this one scene, you know, with the where they steal the time machine or they steal the ATM and, yeah. you know, it pushes it on the guy. Yep. Spoiler alert. But, you know, if you haven't seen it. But then they're like, no, we're not going to tell anyone that we didn't kill that person. And we're just going to let everyone think you know, that we did that. That's kind of that's sort of your thought process with the punching of the windshield.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it comes out later that they found out it was the wife. And so Jesse lost all his street all cred of, yeah. in just 1 second.
And that's a life lesson for you right there. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. You got to be honest or you got to do the dirty work yourself.
That's right.
So where do you live right now?
So February, I just moved down to Minneapolis.
Oh, really? So you were up there
the whole time. Yeah.
Wow. So you grew up there and you were living there and you were doing comedy there. You didn't go out to you didn't go out to LA, New York, nothing. You're nope. just doing. Wow.
I mean, you know, I'd go out there and do shows and sure. showcases and stuff like that. But I lived in Fergus Falls. So lived in Fergus Falls, moved to Minneapolis. This is where I started comedy.
Yeah.
And then lived away from Fergus Falls for about 10 years.
Where'd you live?
In Minneapolis and St. Peter, Minnesota. There was a private school that my kid's mom was teaching at. And so we were down there and then we decided to move back to Fergus Falls because we're both from there. Yeah. And we thought it'd be easier if, you know, the kids had grandparents around, stuff like that when I was on the road. So lived there and then My daughter just went to college. She's my youngest. She just went to college in September. And so I started dating this gal from Washington, and she moved to Minneapolis, and it's great. You know, she's also a comedian. I've never dated a comedian before, and it's been so great because we get each other's lifestyle and we get each other's schedule. And I've seen comedians date and I've been like, how is this going to work? And I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
Okay. All right. Well, what are the pros and the cons of dating a comedian?
This is going to sound like I'm full of shit, but
okay.
I haven't seen a con yet.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I guess, okay, hold on. I'll take that back. The one con is when you have a weekend off, but they have to go work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks a little bit, but otherwise it's been great. And the pros are, you know, when we're about having to post clips.
Misery loves company.
Yes. Yeah. The other person gets it. And like I said, she gets my schedule and she gets my lifestyle. She knows that when I'm after a show, if I don't text for an hour, it's because I'm in the meet and greet line and I'm talking to the staff and stuff like that. There's no like, where the hell are you? None of that stuff. And which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because some people, if they don't quite understand that, like, your show's done, what could you possibly be doing? Meanwhile, you're like,
right,
you know, signing somebody's cast, you know,
yeah,
at that exact moment when they think you might be doing something weird or whatever.
Right. And let me be clear. No one that isn't a comedian should understand this. I'm not saying like, what's wrong with you? Understand it. No one should understand it. It's an impossible thing to understand. But now that I have found someone that does understand it, it is nice.
Yeah, that's cool. So you guys don't like posting clips, huh?
Well, she is fantastic at it. She is like, you know, everyone asks her, what social media person do you use? And it's her.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sitting at the counter with her while she's doing it. And I'm just watching, like reading articles about hockey when I should be doing the same thing she's doing.
But
I'm not. I don't know. I got into comedy. I mean, this is like old man stuff, but I got into comedy when it was like, all right, you have to send a video to the bookers to prove that you're funny. And then you get to work and then you build a crowd from people coming out and they like you and then they come back.
Right.
And now it is just a different ball game, right? You can sit in your chair at your house and say a funny sentence and get 2 million views. And then all of a sudden people are coming out. And I think that's also great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's crazy. Like you kind of climb this one mountain, you get good at climbing this mountain and then you get, you know, to the top or close to the top. And then everyone's like, yeah, but actually we're climbing that mountain now. And, you know, I mean, like you got to get now do the social media mountain in order to do the thing that you just climbed the mountain for, just to be a good comedian.
I had a lot of success on Pandora, and Pandora used to have, well, they think they still do, but it's this service called AMP where you could record a 15-second commercial and you could send it to the city that you're going to. So anyone that's listening to your station in that city gets that commercial. And so I was like, this is great. I'll never have to learn social media because I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
And now there's this royalty lawsuit. And so they took everything down off of Pandora that's mine. And so I no longer have access to that. So now I'm
brutal.
I'm like 5 years behind on putting clips out and stuff like that. But it is a fun thing to learn how to do and whatever, but it is interesting when you see, like, my daughter can just, it is 1 minute and she has somehow a 2 minute video and you're like, what's happening? And it'll take me an entire day.
Yeah. You know, and then you think though, cause then you're like, oh, I'm not going to do this cause I don't have the days, you know, but then the more you do it, the quicker you get at it. But you're like, there's just no drive sometimes to get like really good at something you don't want to get good at, like editing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that old Hedberg joke when he was like, oh, you do comedy. Can you write for television? And then he would always compare it to, oh, you're a cook. Can you farm? It's just always one adjacent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get started in comedy out there? Was it when you went to Minneapolis that era or? Okay.
Well, I mean, so I had always liked kind of performing, you know, I was, I would MC the, homecoming festivities and stuff like that. And I'd done a couple things in college where I was in front of people, but I, you know, started at Acme officially, Acme Comedy Company, and did the contest and lost in the first round, but thought it was so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there and I'm thinking like, oh, you're a pretty funny guy. You make your friends laugh. And then I get up there and I'm like, oh, this is so different. You're just seeing everyone murder and you get out there. People are like, what? We don't know who Jeffrey is. Stop. So, and then I went back about 6 months later and tried it again. And then it really had fun doing it.
So when you went back, like you went up there, didn't necessarily crush, were you still doing it in those 6 months or did it take you 6 months to get back up on stage?
It took me 6 months, but I also I would go to open mics and watch.
Yeah.
And then I would sit at the bar and I would kind of, you know, nudge my shoulder up to the group of comedians that had the 5 minutes and the 7 minute sets. Cause that was like, that was big stuff. And I would listen to them and try to figure out what they were talking about. And it felt like, you know, I was having these same thoughts and how, you know, I talked like them. I mean, not exactly the cadence and stuff, but I just, you know, had a lot of opinions and stuff like that. And so I thought this is probably where I need to be.
Yeah.
And then went back and ended up having a ton of fun the next couple times. And then, you know, you eat crap and it ebbs and flows and whatever. But here we are.
Yeah. What was your worst bomb? Do you remember it?
I do. It was in, I always say this wrong. People make fun of me, but it's Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Oh yeah. Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was there and no one laughed for the first 28 minutes and I was doing 30 minutes. And so it was so brutal.
Where were you playing there?
Was a hotel. It was a bar connected to a hotel.
Okay. I think I played at that hotel. They since redone it.
Okay.
It was a terrible hotel before. So maybe people were just upset with their rooms. You don't know.
I think they turned off a Packer preseason game.
Oh no.
And so I was like, well, what are we supposed to do about this? And so doing the show, and then finally I just I was so sick of bombing that I go, hey. So I know you didn't like the first part of the set, but just so you know, Time Magazine has said that I have one of the top 10 funniest closers in America. The only problem is I'm going to need two bottles of Rolling Rock and two shots of Jack Daniels. And then everyone's like looking around. I go, who's going to help out? Who's going to be the hero tonight? So we can see one of the top 10 closers in America. And then finally, this lumberjack, seriously looked like a lumberjack, brings up two bottles of Rolling Rock and two shots in one hand. He was just holding it in one hand, like a tray. And then I take it, I go, who's ready? And a couple people cheered and I go, come on, who's ready? And everyone cheered. And then I did the two shots of Jack Daniels and I raised my bottles of Rolling Rock and I said, thanks a lot, this sucks. And then I sprinted back to my room like the biggest wimp in the history of comedy.
That's awesome.
Were
they laughing as you were leaving or no?
I don't think so. There was a lot of disgruntled noise. And then I was working with this guy who I was opening and he brought me with him. So he was like, thanks for setting the table, man. Yeah, it was tough.
Do you find that a good opener to set the table is important, or do you think as a headliner sometimes it would work in your favor if the opener bombs and then by comparison you look significantly better? Do you think it's just an absolute disaster if you go in with a
crowd? I think if you're closing the show, you should be able to handle anything.
Right.
Like I remember guys used to come up and they go, hey, just so you know, if you could not talk about relationships, kids, parenting, or being alive. That'd be great. And you're like, okay, I'll try. And that was always weird to me because I'm like, well, if you have a joke, yours should definitely be funnier than mine. You're closing.
Right.
So, but I prefer to have somebody that kills in front of me just because I think it's better for the show in general. Yeah. I would much rather have people come up and be like, oh man, that whole show was great, instead of, you sure were funnier than the first guy, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I had this one, the reason I asked is I'm kind of in your ballpark with that, but I had a couple comedians I was talking to. They were saying that they like that juxtaposition thing, but I just feel like, that sucks. Just having to bring a crowd up from a guy who just stole two Rolling Rocks and two shots and went to his hotel room. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I also think it's a good show. You know, I don't want people to have to sit through a half hour of nonsense. And I also think if you're bringing people on the road with you, it should be people that are working hard and that are funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I think they've kind of earned that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So you're doing comedy in Minnesota. When and you go back and you do it, like, when are you getting to the point where you're like, okay, I feel like I can do this as a career?
Probably I'd say 4 years into it. It was one of those things where I had the greatest, I was a bartender at this place called the Eagle's Nest in Robbinsdale, which is a suburb of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And it was Ron and Cindy Eagles were the owners. And what they would do is they knew that I wanted to do stand-up. So when I was gone for a weekend, they would have people cover my shifts. And then when I was home, they would give me the people that covered my shifts. We'd switch. So I'd get their shift. So I was still making money.
Mm.
And it really, I don't think I could still be doing this because I had a baby at the time. And so I don't know if would be doing this if they had not done that. But I think the moment where you were gone too much to ask them to do that was the moment you were like, okay, I'm going to go full court press on this thing.
Yeah. Well, shout out to the Eagles.
Oh, no kidding.
And I love that their place is called the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah.
It's such a classic, like, Midwest name for it was a supper club, you say?
It was. So it was next to this place called Broadway Pizza. There's a couple of them in the metro area. And then they had an entire bar that was right next to it that you could still order the pizzas, but it was more of the bar side with the games and, adults and stuff. Yeah.
Got it. Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Beijing meeting with China's foreign minister. China's readout so far of the meeting signaling Taiwan is at the center of talks and tensions. Hanging in the balance still on the trip, a possible sit-down with China's leader. More from ABC's Matt Rivers in Beijing.
I asked a senior State Department official here on the ground what's the likelihood of that Biden-Xi meeting taking place. That official not wanting to get out in front of his boss, saying only he would take President Biden at his word.
Blinken's trip initially scheduled for February but was postponed after a Chinese spy balloon made its way into U.S. airspace before getting shot down by the military. One person is dead in Illinois and at least 20 injured after gunfire overnight at a Juneteenth festival. Police in the West Chicago suburban town of Willowbrook say they don't have a motive. After officially kicking off his 2024 campaign this weekend, nothing official on the president's schedule today. He's marking Father's Day along with dads all across the country. This is ABC News.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks. A $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson and Watts today. 855-954-1186.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
And isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If you're just tuning in now, this is my conversation with comedian Chad Daniels on Civic Media.
What was your first job?
It's like ever?
Yeah.
Paperboy.
Oh, you were a paperboy.
Yeah.
You were you bicycle doing?
I was a skate. I was a skateboard guy. So
you were a skateboard paperboy.
Yeah, I had.
Man, that's a rare breed.
I had two skateboards. One was just really crummy, but that's the one that the bag rode on.
Yeah. I've never heard of this. I've never heard of a skateboard paperboy.
Yeah, that was my thing.
Was your other board a longboard?
Nope. No, just
standard skateboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, because longboards are tough to maneuver. You can't just be going doing that unless you're in like, I don't know. I don't even know how you're doing this. So do you have like a trailer hitch on your skateboard?
No, but the bag has a big strap that's supposed to go around your shoulder.
Yeah.
And then I would cinch that up and it would just ride alongside me.
So you're like, you're almost walking a dog. On
yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Man, that's innovative. Did you know, where'd you learn how to do that?
Oh, I just decided I think from laziness.
So were you like an innovator in the paperboy world for doing it that way?
I don't know that I don't think I've seen anybody do that still.
So people did that then?
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I was the only one doing it, but I was also very bad at being the paper boy because I'd go get all the money. And then, so if people haven't done this before, you have to go to people's homes and you have to collect the monthly fee for the paper. And then it's your job to take all of that money and then give some of it back to the paper. And then you get to keep some of it. But every time I would collect, my dad would take my money. And I was trying to explain to him, like, dude, you don't get it. This isn't all my money. If you're going to steal my money, only steal half of the money in here because I owe this to the paper.
Yeah.
And he would just continue to take all of it. And I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. And he's like, don't get fired from this job. I'm like, you are the reason I'm going to get fired from this job.
You're going to have the paper coming with a baseball bat ready to break your kneecaps.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen Breaking Bad. I know how this works. So what? Why was your dad stealing your money?
Oh, I think he liked to gamble on wild, unimaginable things.
Oh, your dad was a gambler, huh?
Yeah, he was a gambler. He liked to gamble. I found this out much later because this is kind of a weird story. When I was in sixth grade, I get home and my dad's home, which was not normal. And he's like, you got to come down here. And I go downstairs and he shows me this VHS tape that he had taken at an open mic of a guy he worked with that was doing impressions. And he's like, I'm going to manage this guy and we are going to be richer than you'd ever imagine. I was like, okay, great. You can stop stealing my paper money. So then cut to, I had been doing comedy for, I don't know, like 7 or 8 years or something. And this guy, I'm doing this bar gig and this guy goes up in front of me, older than me, and he puts a bucket on his hat and he's doing a Darth Vader thing. And I go, oh my God, I've seen this. It was the guy from the tape.
No way.
And so I go up to him. I go, oh my God, you know Steve Daniels? And he's like, yeah, I used to work with him. I go, that's my dad. I go, he showed me a video of you when I was in sixth grade. And I was just excited to tell him that, not knowing it would sound like, hey, I was in sixth grade and now I've,
Now
gone above you in comedy. And that's not at all what I was doing. But after he, you know, calmed down from that, he was telling me that my dad used to bet on which fly would land on the bar first.
Oh my God.
And he would give people 10 to 1 odds. So he could either win 50 or lose 500. And, wow. And that, yeah. And so then you look back and you're like, oh yeah, that's why he took my paper money.
How were you able to sustain as a paper boy if you continued to lose your money, though?
I got fired.
You got fired.
Yeah.
Got it.
I got fired, and then I had to mow lawns to pay back what I owed the paper.
Oh, that's brutal. Did you hide your money in a better place this time?
I don't think there was a better place. It was like, you know, when you see like a Breaking Bad situation.
Yeah.
Where the DEA comes in and there's just a couch broken in half. You're like, well, they must have really been looking for something.
Yeah, no tile in the basement was unturned.
No place to hide it until I did eventually start hiding it in a plastic bag underneath. Remember those old swing sets when you would swing back too far, the legs would lift up?
Yeah.
So it was one of those, and I buried it underneath one of the legs.
Wow, you had to bury your money from your dad.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, it's also, I mean, it feels great now because it's nice to get that out of the way. I don't have to bury my money anymore, which is nice.
Yeah, when you start there, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a bank never... You were too young for the bank.
I didn't know how to do it. And when you're that young, you had to have a parent go with. I'm like, Well, I'm not having this dipshit come with me. I would also like to say, just hop in here quickly. My mother is one of the most fantastic people that's ever lived. So it's not like this woe is me story.
No. I mean, yeah. It's a balance, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Were they together, your folks?
They were together until maybe I was like 14 or something.
Ah, got it. So did you, how old were you when you were doing the paper route?
Probably sixth grade, 12, I suppose.
Okay. So did you ever like rat your dad out on your mom?
No. Cause it was always just about to combust.
Ah, got it. So you were not trying to. Light the match.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't need to be the reason there's a murder-suicide in this house.
So, were you... So then you're mowing lawns. Then you're mowing lawns after this. Okay. do you have any, like... Were there any weird people like in your lawn mowing days or your paper days, like any weird stories like that? I mean, you already told a pretty weird one with your dad stealing the money and whatnot, but any like dogs that weren't a fan of you or, you know?
No, but we had the person that took over my paper route, our dog bit her.
Oh.
Which is wild. And when you live in your hometown for almost ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I golf with her husband in the summers.
Uh-huh.
And so I see her a lot and I'll always ask, how's your leg? Even though, you know, it's been 100 years, I still ask.
Yeah. Did you have to get rid of the dog after that or?
No, I think that was right before. If a dog bit you, you had to put it down. I think that it may have been right before that law got passed because we kept the dog for quite a while after that. But
yeah,
as far as like, excuse me, people on the route, you know, sometimes an old guy would be like, you want to come in and watch television? And be like, no, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Just so you know, you're not going to catch me. I have 2 skateboards. You're not even going to come close to catching me.
I had a weird job. There was this older woman in the neighborhood, and I started working for her probably when I was 11. I was sorting yarn at her yarn house. And then I kind of graduated to doing the yard work. And one time she had me pick all of the dandelions and put them in a big bowl. And then we were going to make dandelion wine. So I was like 11, 12 years old. Fermenting dandelions. So
well, you got to learn young.
I know, you got to figure it out somehow. It's funny, those first jobs. So man,
yeah, I love that you went from yarn work to yard work, so you didn't even have to change your t-shirt that much. You just scratched the N off and painted a D on it. You're like, look at it, same shirt.
Yeah, that's funny, man. I wish I had a shirt for that. That would have been great. So you're doing back to the fast forward, back to the career. When do you start like making the transition to headlining and, you know, touring and then, you know, getting on Conan and all that sort of stuff?
It was probably 7 years in, I'd say, because, you know, you start, you do open mic until you have 15 minutes to MC a club. And then when you have 15 minutes to MC a club, you can do a half hour at a bar, and then you work bars and you get a good enough half hour to do a half hour at a club. And then you're doing 45 minutes at a bar. I mean, it's like back and forth, back and forth. And so probably about 7 years that took me to, from the first time I did open mic to kind of consistently closing the shows. And I don't say headline because for me, I think headlining is when your name is on the marquee.
Yeah.
People will come because your name is there. But when you're a closer, it's just like you're the guy doing the most time.
Right.
Right. I mean, so when you're at a bar, no one knew who I was. They were just going to the bar because it was comedy night.
Right.
And so I was closing about 7 years in, and then I would sign up for these contests and I'd have friends that move to LA or New York, and I'd go out and I'd do their shows and then, you know, get seen on some stuff. I did a ton of just driving to get to these showcases. One time I drove from Minneapolis to Chicago to do a 7-minute set. So that's like a 7-hour drive.
Oh my God.
To do a 7-minute set for Star Search, the new Star Search.
Ah.
And then I had to drive 7 hours back because I had to be there for my son in the morning. And so it was like 14 hours in the car to do 7 minutes. And I got almost booed off stage during the 7 minutes. But I said something to the person that was heckling me that was funny enough, I guess, to get the attention of this guy, JP Buck, who was working for Star Search. And then he ended up being the guy who booked Conan forever.
Oh, wow.
So after the show, he goes, hey, I can't put you on Star Search just because if you say something like that to a judge, I'll get fired. But
wait. What did you say? Do you remember?
Okay. Oh, I sure do.
Yeah.
I used to have a joke about this nurse who didn't have her index finger. Uh-huh. And she was taking my pulse. And it looked like her index finger was in my wrist because it was like an optical illusion.
Yeah.
And I said it wasn't fair because she wasn't getting an accurate heart rate because I was freaking out because I thought her finger, blah, blah, blah. And there's this whole bit about that.
Yeah.
And then this lady screams out, F you. And I go, whoa, what's going on? And she goes, you ruined my night. And I go, how about we talk about it back at the bar? And she goes, nope, you ruined my night. I'm going to ruin your night. And I was like, how did I ruin your night? And then she held up her hands and she just had thumbs. I think it's a something, it's people are born like this, but a thumb and a pinky only.
Uh-huh. Got it.
And so she was mad I was talking about not having a finger.
Right.
And I said, well, listen, lady, if I knew you were going to get crabby about this, I wouldn't have said it. Yeah. And she said, I wasn't crabby until you brought it up. And I go, no, 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 not crabby, mad, crabby. And then I did my hands like little pincers. And the room is like a hallway, right? I mean, it's a skinny room. It's Zany's in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, I know that room. Yeah.
And I got booed so hard that I could almost feel my hair move. I mean, it was like there was movement of the air in the room. I got booed so hard.
Wow. But
then I saw comedians in the back were high-fiving and, you know, falling off their chairs and stuff. So I'm like, okay, this is worth it. So I get off stage and normally you walk back through the crowd, but I had to go through the front door and then back to the alley to get let in because I didn't want to walk through the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, who's got two Rolling Rocks? So so I go through and I get back there. And that's when JP was like, listen, I'm going to keep my eye out for you because that made me laugh so hard. And then probably 7 years after that, maybe not even seven, but five, something like that, he called me. I was on my way to a softball game in Fergus Falls. And he called me and he goes, hey, just so you know, I'm booking Conan. He got the Tonight Show. I'd love to have you on. And I was like, what? So, I mean, he remembered that from 5 years
prior. Yeah. Oh, that's wild.
And yeah, then he's a good dude.
And then did once you got on Conan, did that kind of jumpstart something with tour dates and all that? Or how does that work back then?
Didn't really jumpstart anything other than now you had that Tonight Show credit.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a little more validity when you would talk to bookers and stuff like that. I would say the thing that really jump-started everything was Comedy Central used to have a contest called Comedy Central. Well, I can't remember. But you would go, they'd pick 10 people from submissions to go to all these different places, Minneapolis, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, like all these places. And I picked Southern California because I thought, well, I'm not going to win, but I'd like to be seen by industry. And so I went out there and I actually ended up winning that round. And that got me a bunch of attention. I ended up getting new faces from it. And I ended up getting a manager and an agency and stuff like that. So that was probably the biggest thing that happened.
And so kind of in the meantime, though, you know, you're doing the dad thing back in Minnesota and you're on a softball team. I didn't want to burn past that one. So, all right. So what kind of a dad are you on the softball team? Are you like, I feel like there's like five different types of dads who play softball. The dad who takes it super seriously, dad who's just there for the beers, you know, the dad who's just always stretching for some reason. I don't know. Like, what was your vibe on that team?
I was the dad that needed to get away from my kids for 2 hours.
Okay.
And no, that I guess not necessarily true, but I was just I just needed some sort of competitive outlet.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Because I was competitive when I was growing up, but when you get older, there's less and less opportunities.
Right.
And so I didn't take it too seriously, but I definitely would try to make the highlight reel. You know, diving in the outfield or behind the back to, you know, from shortstop to second base for the double play, something like that.
Yeah.
And it never really worked out for me.
Okay.
And that's why I no longer play softball and I play golf.
All right. It's a much safer way for your, you know, things that tear. Golf is a lot safer for things that tear.
Absolutely. Hey, a 10-foot putt still makes the highlight reel. I don't have to dive onto a rock in the outfield.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Do you have any softball plays, though, that you were like, man, this was the one? Like, did you any walk-off home runs or anything like that?
I never had that, but I had and the only reason I bring this up, somebody just brought this up when I was, my son, since I moved to Minneapolis, my son has rented my house in Fergus Falls.
Uh-huh.
And I was just up there and we were moving some stuff. And this guy goes, "Your old man ever tell you about that catch he made?" And so I was, there was a lefty up and the bases were loaded. And we were just up by one, bottom of the seventh, play seven innings. And I challenged him. I was playing left field and I walked way up and I was like, "Challenge." So just to be a jerk. And he tried to hit it over my head, but he hit it to the left of me. And I ran and, you know, full Superman dove and caught it. And I, it's interesting that you asked me this because I would not have had an answer for you 2 weeks ago. Wow. But when this guy goes, "Do you ever tell you about that catch?" I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right." Really started feeling hot about it.
Did you get a little sad though? Thinking like, you know, now these days everyone's filming everything. You would have been able to watch that, or are you happy that the memory, because the memory, you can build on that, you know, the leap can go from 1 foot to 5 feet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I just said full Superman, there's a great chance I was just tilted forward a little bit, but as I tell it, because there's no video footage.
Yeah.
I tell it, it's a full Superman leap.
Yeah. And I believed you. I didn't question that. I imagined you with a cape on.
That's what I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you, it's what I felt like, but I also know that, you know, I was old, you know, as fast as, you know, you were in high school and all that good stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah. What, you know, growing up, living in Minnesota your whole life, what did you think of Wisconsin?
So I always thought, I mean, if football had never been invented, Minnesota and Wisconsin would be one state.
Yeah, definitely. Then we wouldn't let the Mississippi divide us if it weren't for the Packers and the Vikings. that would be, you know, just a puddle for us. Yeah. You know? There'd be more bridges.
That'd be it. But and then, you know, we'd get to have Spotted Cow over here, which would be nice.
Yeah, right. You could have Spotted Cow. You could have, you know, access. We wouldn't have this argument over who has more lakes, you know,
right? Right.
Because you are the land of 10,000 lakes.
Right.
But in Wisconsin, we have like 15,000 lakes.
Yeah. And then I was just in Milwaukee and someone pulled that up on their phone as they came through and they're like, "Just so you know." And I'm like, "Just so you know, when it rains here, you guys have 17,000 lakes because you count puddles. So let's cut the nonsense."
We do have, I bring this up during this argument every now and again, but we do have one of our lakes is literally called Random Lake, you know, because when you're counting puddles, bad part is you got to name them all. You run out of names. So
that's right.
Are you a Vikings fan?
I am a Vikings fan, but it's troubling because I am as far away from a Kirk Cousins fan as you can get.
Okay.
I am of the belief that if you love Jesus so much, you should go live with him voluntarily. And I don't like an athlete that can pray away a loss. I'm not into it. I'm not making fun of religion. I'm just telling you, I need somebody who, when they lose, it hurts.
Yeah.
So they feel it the next game and they want to win.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of his. It's always the same thing. It's always fourth and eight and he throws it 3 yards and expects everybody to do the heavy lifting. It's like, you know, get it to the first down mark.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think that God would almost be telling him with these losses to work a little harder.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, where are the stone tablets now, Kurt?
So, do you have any? Do you call it casserole or do you call it hot dish or what do you call it?
Call it hot dish where I grew up. Yeah.
Okay. And what did that look like for you? Do you have a lot of hot dish in your childhood?
Tons of hot dish, as you know. My dad had to steal my money to pay gambling debts, so there wasn't a lot of crab legs at the house. No.
A lot of creamy mushroom soup, though.
Yeah, creamy mushroom soup, string beans, some brown hamburger, some American cheese, and some tater tots, of course.
Oh, yeah. Got to get your carbohydrate on top of that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then, of course, I would douse it in ketchup, and everyone would look at me weird, but I don't care.
No.
But that is one of the things that when I eat tater tot hot dish, it brings me right back to being 5 years old. It's crazy how that works.
Wow. Do you do that these days as sort of a spiritual exercise?
Yeah, like what's the drug that everybody's doing?
Ayahuasca.
In Central America? Yeah, ayahuasca. Yeah.
ABC News,